I met my wife to be in college, and she'd already been there. I'd seen her a year before, and I didn't have the courage to ask her out. So the following year, I said, I'm going to ask her out that summer. So when I finally worked up the courage to get, when I get back to school in the fall, to ask her out, she said she would, to my great surprise, but asked that I memorize a Bible verse whenever I would come to pick her up. I think we're way ahead of ourselves here on these slides here. Let's go back one here. Oh, well, just blank it out. But anyway, wanted me to memorize a Bible verse. So I did. I worked very hard all week and was excited to share my knowledge by memorizing John 11:35. Date night finally arrived. I nervously awaited her arrival in the lobby of her dormitory. She looked so pretty with a beautiful smile. And she asked me, did you memorize the verse? And I nervously replied, yes, John 11:35, Jesus wept. The date ended at that moment. And my second attempt at date failed also when I arrived with 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. And with two strikes against me and miraculously given another opportunity, I finally did the right thing. I became a doer of what I've been listening to. I memorized Philippians 4:8. I can't remember it now, but it was finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Success! Finally made it. I was listening and hearing what she asked me to do, but wasn't doing it properly. I was only a hearer of the word and not a doer, because I wasn't listening properly. I was more interested in making a joke than making a good impression. So, though this story is just a bit exaggerated, I did say Jesus wept. I didn't say that. But I had the other one in my pocket anyway. Though the story is a bit exaggerated, there's a greater application to us as believers. Are we just hearers of the word only, or are we the doers of it? And we have the perfect example of doers of the word through the Feast of Purim that we're celebrating right now. Esther and Mordecai were doers of the word. They acted on what they knew to do, and God blessed them for it. And so the title of my message today is Purim Doers. Text comes from James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let's all say that together again. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And this verse is very precious to me because this is the verse I got saved on. More about that later. My theme today is to challenge us to be better doers. Be a better doer of the word. So I'd like to develop this theme, simple theme, by examining first, looking at Purim, a few examples from Esther and Mordecai's lives. Secondly, at the principle of hearing and doing, looking at the text a little bit more in depth, and then finally a personal testimony about how this impacted me as well. So we've been sitting for a while, and I think it'd be good if we did our Bible exercise to kind of loosen up. So, of course, everyone brings their Bible with them when you come to a service, right? It's going to be a Torah reading. The Lord might give you a word to share, and it would be quite embarrassing if you didn't have your Bible with you. Now, I'm not sure I qualify this as a Bible, but many have progressed to this level, I guess, here. But this has many other distractions along with it, right? I can check my email while I'm reading the Bible and stuff. And so, anyway. So what we're going to do is take the Bible. What we're trying to do today is get this into our thick skull, get this word of the God in my head and the word of God into my heart. Lord, help me, wake me up, that I might be a hearer of your word. Now that you're exhausted from that exercise, let's look first at Purim, the example of Esther and Mordecai in Purim. And so rather than delay the message through a lot of responses here, and we're going to be, you know, how we, when we say certain people's names, there's the various responses that are given. So I'm going to do one time, say the names, and then that shall suffice for the rest of the message, okay? if we can hold ourselves. So, Mordecai. Yay! Haman. Yay! Now, the one that gets left out to me, I was there the other night, and I was really struck, is that poor little old Esther, we're saying her name all the time, and it gets nothing. This, the book is named after her. It's not the book of Mordecai. So, one time, Esther. All right. Hallelujah. Well, Esther and Mordecai were hearers of the word and were doers of it as well. First of all, they listened to wisdom and advice. The first example we see is in Esther chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. When the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go to the king, she did not ask for anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the guardian of the women, advised. And Esther won favor in the eyes of all who saw her. Then Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus at his royal house in the 10th month, which is the month Tevet, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she won his grace and favor more than all the other virgins. So he placed the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So here we see Esther listens to the advice of this man who she's with in the group of women where she is. She listens to his advice, takes his advice, and goes in to see the king and is successful. She's rewarded. She becomes the queen. Another example is that she listens to Mordecai's advice in Esther chapter 2, verse 20. Esther had not yet made known her lineage of her people, and just as Mordecai had told her, Esther continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up. So here she listens to Mordecai's advice, listens to the wisdom he's giving her, and does it. It probably wasn't safe to reveal that you were Jewish in those days. There, because so many things were going on. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and all those guys? Things were happening. So it was better to hide your ancestry. And also Mordecai then gives her further advice. We read in Esther chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Mordecai told them, upon hearing about the plan of the evil person, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther with this answer: "Do not think in your soul that you will escape in the king's household more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Who knows whether you have attained royal status for such a time as this?" So Esther again listens to Mordecai's advice, tells her what to do. And she obeys and does it. She's a doer. So not only does Esther listen to wisdom, she and Mordecai also act upon their faith. Now, as you heard earlier, someone mentioned that the book of Esther is often criticized because it doesn't mention the name of God anywhere in the book. In fact, there are no other references to the book of Esther within the scriptures itself. Sometimes there's cross-references of things and stuff. And there are no records that have been discovered so far in all the records of Persia, etc., that ever have confirmed this story or event. But yet, the Jewish people have received this word, and so the Christian community has received it as God's word, that it was ordained by God as a divine word of the Lord. And so we do too. But what often gets overlooked is that Mordecai and Esther had faith. Upon hearing of the evil plot, we read in Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, when Mordecai learned all that was done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the middle of the city, crying out in a loud and bitter voice. He went only as far as the king's gate, because no one could enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. Now, sackcloth is this coarse black cloth made from goat's hair that was worn together with the burnt ashes of wood as a sign of mourning for personal and national disaster, as a sign of repentance, and at times prayer for deliverance. Now, poor Mordecai, I think, intended all three of these things. Mourning, he was repenting, and praying for deliverance. Well, where did he learn this from? This is a spiritual principle. He would have heard this from his family, from his community. He would have learned it. And this is an act of faith. Why would he need to repent? Why are these people here to begin with? Why are the Jews in Babylon? They had sinned and disobeyed God. And God's judgment came upon the land, and they were taken over by Nebuchadnezzar, taken into captivity for 70 years. Something, the story we often forget. But he learned to have faith and trust in God, to sackcloth and ashes, to mourn, to repent, and to pray and intercede. Again, Esther does the same thing. We read in Esther 4, 15 through 16, Esther went, sent this reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Shushan and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast in the same way. Afterwards, I will go into the king, and even though it is not according to the law." Where did she learn about fasting, that was something you should do? She would have learned it from a Mordecai, from her family, from her community. That this is something of the fasting is a way of expressing deep need and intercession to the Lord. She said, "Fast for me, intercede for me," because of this steps he was going to take of going and approach the king, which was not heard of at the time. "Intercede for me that when I approach the king, it will be successful." So we've seen some examples of their hearing wisdom and acting upon it, and their faith, and that he actually had a faith in God. And now let's take a couple of examples of the action that they did. What did they actually do? The actual combining of the doing with the faith that they had. So Esther goes in to see the king, right? Esther 4, verses 16. "Afterwards, I will go into the king, and even though it is not according to the law, so if I perish, I perish." Which, in other words, is, I'm going to do it no matter what. She had determination. She was going to act upon her faith. She listened to what Mordecai told her, the advice he had given her, and the wisdom. "You've been raised for such a time as this. Well, I'm going to do it. Come what may, I'm going to do it." And she follows through. We read in Esther 5, verses 1 through 2. "On the third day, Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the courtyard, she found favor in his eyes. So the king held out to Esther the golden scepter in his hand, and Esther approached and touched the top of the scepter." She does it. She's a doer. And God is faithful, and she is blessed, and she is received. She continues to fulfill her decision by asking the king and Haman to another banquet. Thank you. In Esther 5, verses 7 through 8, Esther answered and said, "My petition, my request is this. If I have found favor in the king's eyes, and if it pleases the king to grant me my petition and my request, then let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet that I will prepare for them, and then I will do as the king requests." She prepares two banquets, actually. That's a lot of work. She had to go back in the kitchen and order out to Chick-fil-A to have delivered some kosher chicken meals for them. Requires a lot of work and planning, and all her efforts come to a head when she reveals her true request in Esther 7, verses 3 through 6. "So Queen Esther answered, 'If I have found, when asked by the king, what do you want me to do? If I have found favor in the eyes of the king, and if it pleases the king, grant me my life. This is my petition, and spare the life of my people. This is my request, for we have been sold, I and my people, for destruction, slaughter, and annihilation. If we had simply been sold as male and female slaves, I would have remained silent, for such distress would not be worth disturbing the king.' King Ahasuerus responded to Queen Esther, 'Who is he? Where is the man that presumed to do this?' Esther replied, 'The man, the adversary and foe, is this wicked Haman.'" She has the courage to follow through. He's standing right there to accuse him in front of his face and tell the truth. She has the determination to do so, and ask for relief. And of course, we know the rest of the story. So here we've seen Esther and Mordecai listen to wisdom and take advice. They have faith. They put trust in God and were not afraid to act. And they were actually doers. Esther took actions. She was not only a hearer of the word, but a doer. So we've looked at some examples of how Esther and Mordecai were not only hearers of the word, but doers as well. So now let's look a bit more closely at the biblical principle as we turn our attention to James chapter 1, where our text comes from. So here's the principle. James 1, 22-25. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So James here uses this metaphor of looking in a mirror as a way of describing this truth here. So mirrors were rare in that day. They were nowhere near like the mirrors that we have today. It was just polished metal of some sort that might give a bit of an image or glimpse. So the common people did not have these. This was more of the wealthy class. But if you look in a mirror, it's like the hearer and not a doer. You look in the mirror at yourself, put it away, and then just forget what you look like. Forgetting what you heard is like, I've heard the word, and then forget it. I looked at myself, and I forgot what I looked like. And he goes on to say, this is a way of deceiving yourself. By not being a doer, you're deceiving yourself, consciously or unconsciously. Now, I know what that's all about. I look in the mirror every day, and I deceive myself. Because when I look in the mirror straight on, I know that's kind of covered up by this kippah here. And it might be kind of surprised. Don't let my wife hear this, but I'm actually going a little bald. You know? But I have this little bit of hair that comes across the top here. So when I look in the mirror, I'm deceiving myself consciously. All right, I look pretty good here, you know. I comb that part over all the time, you know. And when I was a kid, that part used to come. I used to sit in the, watching TV, chewing on that hair as it came. Well, it was back, it was down here somewhere. But that front part used to hang down real low. I'm telling you, I'm 39 years old, and I'm still looking in the mirror, deceiving myself every day. I still have hair. Well, I'm trying to fool myself. When we go to the department stores, and Nita's always wondering, why are you going to those three-way mirrors all the time? I said, well, I want to see what the reality looks like. And see, kind of, you know, you see the angle so you can see the side, and it's like, oh my God. So I don't go anymore to those three-way mirrors because it destroys the deception that I'm putting myself under. Well, anyway, deceiving ourselves by not doing what we've just heard and we know is right to do. There are obstacles in hearing that we receive that help, that are obstacles to us in hearing God's word. The perfect example of this is from the parable of the sower, from Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road, listen to how many times you hear the word hearing or heard here. Those beside the road are the ones who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. But those on the rocky places are the ones who, when they hear, accept the word with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a season, and in a time of testing, fall away. Now that which fell into the thorns are those who were hearing, but as they go along the way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. They do not bear mature fruit. But the seed in the good soil are those with a praiseworthy and good heart who have heard the word and hold it fast and bear fruit with patient endurance. The four different types of soil there. The seeds that fall upon the road. Yeshua says that's like the devil comes and takes it away immediately. The seed that falls on rocky places, it begins to take root. But then a time of testing comes and it dies and falls away. And the seed that falls within the thorns begins to grow as well. But then the cares and riches and pleasures of this world overtake, and it's not and is ignored. And of course, there's the good ground where we hope we all are receiving the word in. So these are the obstacles. The devil takes it away from us. We have times of testing, and we fail and give up. Or we start to hear it, think it sounds pretty good, but then all the cares of the world and all the things that we fill our lives with overtakes what's really the most important thing we should be listening to. And the thorns and cares and riches of the world, we have an example of that in the rich young ruler parable in Mark 10, verses 17 through 22. As Yeshua was setting out on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Yeshua said to him. "No one is good except one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not cheat, honor your father and mother." The man responded, "Teacher, all these I have kept since my youth." Looking at him, Yeshua loved him and said, "One thing you lacked. Go sell as much as you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But at this statement, the man became sad and went away grieving, for he had much property. He had been flipping houses and was quite wealthy and had a lot of money and property. Here we are presented with someone who knows the commandments of the Lord. In other words, this is a religious person. He knows all this stuff. I've heard it all before. But when confronted with what Yeshua asked him to do, he's unable to comply. He's not a doer of the word. He can even ask penetrating religious questions. But he's still not a doer. Too many other things are on his mind to let the word of the Lord become the priority of his life. Most of us here kind of fall in that category. I've grown up in congregational life. So there's a warning in the scripture from James also that warns us. We've grown up in the congregational life. Our parents brought us, or we've been here ever since. There's a warning for us. But the first lesson we hear is we're taught to have faith in God, to believe in God. But sometimes that's all the further some people get. James says, "You believe there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." I've always thought this verse is kind of funny, actually. It's really sad, but to me it was always kind of, of course, so you believe in God? Yeah, so does the devil and all his angels. They believe in God too. Where are they at? He even says, "You believe in the one God." The Shema. "Hear Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That's the hearing. Shema, hear. But then we forget the second part of it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the doing. That's the doing. How can you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and it be like number 25 on your list of things that you do in life? Even the demons tremble and believe. Simple belief in God. I believe in God. Well, that's good. It's a start. But not the whole story. So you've looked at a number of examples of how Esther and Mordecai were not only hearers of the word, but doers. And we've examined the spiritual principle of hearing and doing. I'd like to share now a brief personal experience with this truth. As I said at the outset, this is the verse that I was saved on. Of course, it was the King James Version then. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." I grew up in the church from a young boy. I went to Sunday school, vacation Bible school, teen groups, you name it. I responded to many evangelist invitations that came to our church and would preach sermons on throughout a week's period. Sermons of salvation, asking you to come forward, to come to the altar if you want to give your life to Jesus. And I responded many times to that. One of the evangelists was so radical, he was preaching and actually came and started walking down the aisles. That me? Came down to me there and, "Brother, let's pray." I'm like, "Yes, yes." Well, I did this about 10 or 15 times. I would go up to the altar crying and sobbing because I did realize I was a sinner and I needed to repent and have received Jesus into my life. But it just never took. I'd be back the next week. Well, I finally had a moment of truth in the summer of 1972. A choir from Eastern Nazarene College came to our church to sing. I just finished my freshman year of college at a local community college. And this group came, and for the first time I saw a group of about 50 other young people, the same age as me, who loved Jesus, were on fire for him, were singing for him, and actually were cool. I thought they were all a bunch of monks, you know, living off in a, you know, some, you know, strange place. And really everything started crashing in on me. And actually laying in my bed that night, I realized I had only been a hearer of the word and not a doer. And I asked God, laying in the bed in the basement of my house, either all this stuff is true or it's a fairy tale. And instantly, this wasn't even a prayer. This was just my heart kind of crying out. And instantly I heard in my mind, of course you know what's true. And there, lying in my bed all by myself, I decided that I would follow Yeshua with all my heart. And I decided if I fell and sinned, I would pick myself up and ask for forgiveness and keep moving on. I finally became a doer of the word. I'd been a hearer for 18 years, I think. I was 18 years old this time. And when, as I was thinking about this in preparation of this message, I never saw this before, that all those previous times I went to the altar were all emotional. It was all filled with emotion. I was crying, sobbing because of I knew I was wrong and I needed to have forgiveness. But it never clicked. This time, this was a rational decision. There was no emotion. But then I'd come to the end of myself, and I made a rational choice. Conscious, rational choice. I'm going to follow you the rest of my life to the best of my ability. And I finally became a doer. And it wasn't like I was perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I had much to learn and still am. But I think I had a little bit of the attitude of Esther. If I perish, I perish. It's like, I'm going to do it. I don't care what. Still to this day, if I fall, I pick myself up. I'm going to keep on going. And I repent and ask the Lord to help me and continue following him. All this is summed up really by Matthew, by Yeshua in, at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Again, I've underlined the words here. Listen, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall, for its foundation had been built on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Though I didn't properly heed my wife-to-be's challenge in our initial courtship, I eventually heard and did what was right. And I was rewarded with a wonderful wife, more than I could ever dream would be possible. I'm also thankful that my parents brought me into congregational life, where I was exposed to the word of the Lord, where I could be a hearer. The doing is the choice of the person. But you can help your children, expose them to hearing it. In the years I grew up, in the mid-60s, the big fashionable thing was, I'm going to let the parents, I remember so many parents say this, and children that are friends of mine, I'm not going to force my kids to go to church. They'll decide when they get old for themselves. They'll make their own decision. Well, what a disaster that was. They rarely ever did go. The statistics are clear as a bell that those who brought up in a congregational life, the statistics are greater, so much greater, that they will follow the Lord. There's no guarantees of anything. So I say to you, young parents, keep bringing your children here. You know, if it gets tough when they're little and small, tough. Who's in charge? them or you. They can't get up. They can't do this. This is the way we're going to live our lives as a family. And you train them from the young age. Now, when I went to church with my mother, we had Sunday school would be first, and then there'd be church afterward. Now, we would always beg her not to stay for church. Please, don't let's stay. And we'll listen to some boring sermon. You're like this. I mean, can you imagine having to listen to this? Yeah. And so sometimes she'd give in, but still, we heard the word of the Lord. The title of my message today has been Purim Doers. A text, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. My theme today has been to challenge us to be better doers. We looked at a few examples from Purim of Esther and Mordecai. We looked at the principle of hearing and doing and a personal testimony of what it meant to me. Now, it's not just meaning doing the right thing, meaning being saved and becoming and giving yourself to the Lord. It continues on through your life. Are you ready to come up to the next level? Are you just satisfied with where you're at? Doing, hearing and doing. There are many roles in the congregational life that need to be done. Sabbath school teachers, Havarah leaders, volunteering for ONEG and for all kinds of activities here. That's the one thing, so you can continue to grow in your life. Don't get stuck in one level. And sometimes also doing, it can be tough to do the right thing. Doing what's right. I know what this says, but it's a little too hard. It really hurts, to really have to do that, I know what's right, but it's hard. Today, let the Spirit of the living God speak to you about your own status. Listen carefully to hear his voice. Ask him for direction. Don't let Satan steal away the good seed in your life. Don't let the times of testing discourage you so that you give up. Don't let the cares of this world, which are infinite, the things we can spend our time doing are infinite, steal away the most important truth in life. This time, decide to become a doer. Make a conscious choice. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick myself up and keep going forward. And whatever it's going to take, I'm going to do it. If I fall, I will pick myself up and get back on track. It's made all the difference in my life. I can't believe I'm saying this all happened in 1972. What's that? 47 years ago? It's hard to believe because I'm only 39. I just don't understand how that could be, but it's made all the difference. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your truth of your word. Thank you for Yeshua, for your scriptures. Thank you for all those who came before us. Who taught us and showed us the way. I pray everyone here, Lord, will be able to hear your voice. And today, can make a conscious choice to get to the next level. Pray today you'll help us all to hear your voice and to act and obey in obedience to it. I ask in the name of Yeshua. Amen.